Excuse me, this is the operator. Just wanted to let you know that the recordings are going. If you have any objections, you may disconnect. Go ahead, you may begin.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the CWD call on the 13th of December, 2011. On the call today, we have Mike O'Connor, Jonathan Robinson, Alan Greenberg, Jamie Wagner, and Wendy Zeltzer. From staff, we have Julie Headland and Liz Gaster, and myself, Natalie Peregrine. We have an apology from Chuck Gomes. I would like to remind you all to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and please go ahead.
Thank you, Natalie. So this is Jonathan Robinson speaking. We were discussing briefly before the call that we have a simple agenda with 2 points, and that's really further review and comment on the draft principles, and then our plans for finalizing these. It is the sort of stated intention, if you like, that we will try and wrap this up for potential presentation to the GNSO early in the new year. And we have one more scheduled meeting in this 2011 in which we would aim to close this off. So what I was going to suggest we do is in undertaking the review and comment on the draft principles, there's really two things. There's looking and accepting the current changes or making any further revisions. And then what's really joined into the whole document now is a bunch of, if you'll forgive me, Mikey, but I think in relatively informally documented do's and don'ts, sort of wisdom of experience. And the challenge for me is how we either integrate those into the structure of the document as it stands, or whether we form some form of appendix to the sort of our rather brief table document and say, and by the way, these are some other areas of received wisdom that we haven't put into the succinct document that we felt would be useful to have on the record as well. So perhaps in terms of structuring the discussion, it's worth spending a minute or two talking about that first. But before we go into that, is there anything else that anyone would like to see come out of the meeting? If you're happy with it, I'm happy for you to remain silent, but feel free to sort of challenge that agenda if you have any other comments.
This is Jamie, and I would like to remember that we bracketed for further discussion a point in the formation of CWG, the single joint charter whenever possible. Do you remember that?
I do, and I'm just let me look where in the document how that's covered at the moment. Did we sort of parked that, didn't we? We were stuck on that. Is that what you're reminding me, Jamie?
Yes, there were mixed feelings in the group around this issue.
That is actually, if you look at the document, it is in number 2, item A, sub item small 2. It says all participating SOs and ACs should approve a single joint charter whenever possible, and that is bracketed for further discussion, so it is included.
Right. So you've captured that, Judy. Thank you. Yeah, square bracketed there. All right, so I suggest then, in the absence of any further comments, that we open the discussion up really on, in a sense, the structure of the document, because Mikey, in our informal discussion ahead of the meeting, did offer to potentially sort of tighten up the drafting of the do's and don'ts. So really my key question here is, how do we handle these, given that we've essentially got a more or less a one-pager or a one- or two-pager, which is broken down into a structure. Do we try and put the do's and don'ts into the structure, which I suspect might be quite difficult at this stage, or do we form a set of points at the end that are, in a sense, an appendix or an addition to the key table? Any thoughts or comments on that in terms of structuring the document?
So Wendy might suggest that we just allow individuals to add appendices of their own thoughts and reach consensus on the table portion.
It's Alan. Mikey had his hand up, and I do also.
I'm sorry. I've got the Word document in front of me. Apologies, Alan. Yes, so fire away, Mikey, and then we'll take your point, Alan.
This is Mikey. You know, I just really wrote those for fun. They're not really, as I think about it, specific to cross ACSO working groups. So I'd be quite cheerful at either just withdrawing them from the document altogether, or, you know, I think the appendix idea is a quite elegant solution to something that's not, you know, it doesn't really fit very well in the document. It certainly isn't going to fit the way it's drafted. So I think my first inclination would be to just simply withdraw them. I just had a lovely time over a cup of coffee banging those out. But they don't really address the charter of this working group. They're really just sort of lessons learned from project management in general, sort of tuned to an ICANN thing. And mostly what I was doing was I was just reacting to Wendy's idea of do's and don'ts, but I don't really think they're that good. So that's my take on them.
They have two potential roles then in that sense, Mikey. They either are background comments and information to further and better inform this group, or they really should be taken forward in the document in some way to further and better inform others. What were your thoughts, Alan? Were they connected to this, or was there something in addition?
Well, I have a couple of thoughts. First of all, in light of what Liz said, and that the original intent was to keep this light, and remembering this is a preliminary group that's putting together some GNSO ideas so that it can be carried forward as a cross-working group, defining cross-working groups. So coming up with something that is exceedingly prescriptive, I find, is the wrong tone. Now, if we wanted to, and I've now changed my mind because of what Mikey said, but if we wanted to, we could include it as some things that the next group should think about. But in light of what Mikey said, that these really aren't cross-working group issues but working group issues, I think we should forward it to the standing committee, you know, that's going to be looking at it, has it within its mandate to revise working group rules and add them into that document where they belong. So I don't think they belong in this. I think we're supposed to be putting forward something relatively light to fuel the next group that's going to try to come to some agreement between the various ACs and SOs.
Okay, that's helpful. I think Julie had her hand up, and then Jamie. So let's hear from you then, Julie, if you've got thoughts on this.
This is Julie. Only just that I didn't mean to formalize these in any way by including them in the document. I simply was trying to capture the things that had been set on the list so we could discuss them. So I wouldn't want you to take the fact that they are included in this document as any suggestion from me that they should go forward in any formal way.
Great. I see, Jamie, then, that you've... Thanks, Julie. I see you, Jamie. Your hand's gone down. So if that's intentional, then what I'll make a suggestion here. What I think we do is we make a pass through the document, check that we're happy with things, and we may have to leave the wherever possible, whenever possible. We'll see if we can deal with that today or not. I'm slightly concerned that Chuck may have some input. We'll see if he joins the call as well. So I suggest we try and sharpen up the document to in effect, a final draft, and then perhaps just review the do's and don'ts and make sure that to the extent that anything should be in the core document, we have a look at that. But other than that, I'm certainly minded at this point, having heard the different thoughts, to strip it out of this document as such. And just take it as some useful information for us, and potentially as was suggested for standing committee working on working group practices and so on. So if you'll bear with me, then I think what we should do is look at the different changes and just accept or not that these now, and probably do a once-over with the document. And I don't want to go back to absolute first principles, but just go through it one more time and make sure that we don't have any significant concerns with anything, and in particular that the changes from the last meeting are acceptable. So starting then with Alan, fire away before we go down that route then.
Yeah, no, I was put my hand to start talking about section number one. So if we're
right,
there, I'll continue.
Right, go ahead then.
Okay.
That's exactly where we're headed anyway.
Okay. I made a number of suggestions on the list after the last meeting. One of them, I think, was misinterpreted by Chuck and resulted in the change which you see in 1 sub Roman numeral 1. And the other changes were somehow got lost along the way. So I'd like to go back to what I was saying. And my comment on Roman numeral point number 1 was I thought it was a bit insular in that I believe one of the reasons we may want to put together cross-working groups is not just to inform the parent bodies, but ultimately, through the parent bodies, of course, to inform the ICANN community. And, you know, if you look at DSSA, that's one of those. It's not necessarily to give information to the parent body so it can go do something specific, but to increase the amount of knowledge we have about a particular topic, and a cross-working group was felt. So I suggested that we do something there that essentially says to inform the parent bodies and ultimately the ICANN community. Or something, some wording like that. Chuck misinterpreted that.
Are we talking about 1.1 here?
1.1. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chuck, I think, misinterpreted that and was taking it as, as implying that I thought the working group should be able to report directly to the rest of the community, which I wasn't talking about at all. I was just, because this whole section is on purpose. Why do we want to form one? And I wanted to widen the scope a bit more over. To provide information and recommendations to the chartering organizations.
So how would you have that wording changed to properly reflect what you
I think it would be properly reflected if we take what's in black and add on to it, and ultimately the rest of the ICANN community. And possibly, ultimately, you could put it into a second sentence also. But I'm just simply saying that the reason we're forming these sometimes is not simply to give the GNSO fodder to work on, but to build knowledge.
You. So that could be covered by to provide information and recommendations to the chartering organizations. And then you could put in brackets to make it clear that the primary recommendation is to the chartering organization, so we don't lose that connection between the chartering organization and the recommendations going back to the chartering organizations, which is clearly a sensitive point to some, if not all of us. But nevertheless, we could still say, and ultimately, the broader ICANN community.
Yeah, that's all I was trying to get out of it. I mean,
yeah.
we cover who we report to in a later section. And we do it very clearly.
I don't have a concern with that. Jamie, was your point directly related to that?
Yes.
And then Alan will come back, because I know you said you had a couple of other comments.
Okay, go ahead.
I have one point related and one unrelated. In relation to that, I would like to ask to Alan if the number two, the one, two, wouldn't cover this concern of a greater understanding, because there it's referring the larger community understanding.
I sorry, Jamie, I'm not sure what number two you're referring to.
Is the part of scope is the
number two is talking about PDPs prior to or after.
No, 1A2. Alan.
The
section directly below the one that we're talking about.
a discussion forum to achieve greater community understanding. This is something that or following a PDP.
Jamie, I think that sentence captures it exactly if it didn't have the rest of that sentence.
Yeah, the problem is the PDP is the reference to the PDP. This is a problem of mine, too.
If we eliminated all the rest of that sentence, it would capture it exactly, and I'd be delighted. It would also solve my next problem.
All right, well...
I would agree with these editing to remove and leave it this at the general sense of achieve greater community understanding
If we leave Roman numeral 1 as it was before, just the black part, and follow Jamie's suggestion of leave just the first part of the sentence in Roman numeral number 2.
All right, let me
think that's delightful, and it solves my third problem also.
All right, Alan and Jamie, Alan. Let me see if I can't help you a little here, and I hope this might be a practical suggestion. First of all, on one Roman numeral 1, the point we were discussing previously, I don't think it does any harm to put that point in brackets that we said, because even if it is covered by one Roman numeral 2, as we were just discussing, it simply re-emphasizes that, to me, it's structurally quite clean. We're saying we're providing information recommendations to chartering organizations, but we're also recognizing that this has a broader community understanding. I think that bracket could be quite helpful. And second, on the point you guys were just discussing now, I'm a little concerned that we might go around in circles here. We must have put I don't recall exactly how that PDP component got in there, but there is a way to potentially fix that by simply saying a discussion forum to achieve greater community understanding, full stop. Then this may occur either prior to a PDP or following. So it's not that it's absolutely linked to a PDP, but it leaves the PDP element in there. It just says this may. So you break that sentence up to capture what you were wanting, a discussion forum to achieve greater community understanding, full stop. So that's clearly the primary point, and then this may occur either prior to. How does that work for you?
The only problem I have with your last suggestion, I have no problem with the first, but the last suggestion is, depending on how it's worded, it may sound like it may occur prior to or following, but no other time, whereas there's a third option completely unrelated to any PDP. So as long as the connotation makes it clear that it's not restricted to prior to or following a PDP, then I have no problem at all.
Well, we can cover that with some careful wording. We just say something like, this may occur either prior to, following, or independent of the PDP process.
I just like trying to wordsmith on a call like this, so I agree. But I think with careful wording, there shouldn't be a problem with that.
Great. Are you comfortable with that, Julie, from a practical point of view?
I would agree with Alan in relation to the one. I would leave with a bracket in accordance with the charter or directions. I wouldn't remove that. But and I think your Solomonic suggestion but I have the same concern as Alan. If there is something that is not related to a PDP, how it fits.
I think we can find a form of words to accommodate that, Jamie. I think the principle you guys have expressed clearly, that it must be a discussion forum to achieve greater community understanding, and that it may occur either prior to, following, or separate, or independent.
Or unrelated. Or unrelated with a PDP. That's the problem.
Correct.
Jonathan, you could make it simpler by making it a completely new bullet and saying, you know, one of the rationales for a cross-WG may be, and
put the prior to or post then.
This is the is even more Solomonic. Divide this in two bullets.
Would you like to see us do that, Jamie?
Yes. To say a number four.
I think it will remove any need of any concern about confusion there. I can live with it either way.
All right. Well, let's. Julie, how do you feel about drafting that? Do you think you've got enough information to try either route?
Well, let me just. I've heard. This is Julie. What I've heard so far. So. On small Roman numeral 1, under A purpose, I have heard that it should now read, to provide information and recommendations to the chartering organizations and bracketed, and ultimately the broader ICANN community, in accordance with the charter or directions from the chartering organizations. Jamie asked that be put back in.
Yeah, could I ask why we need that, since we're talking about that very clearly in a later section?
I think this is Jamie. I think this is a point of sensitivity due to what happened in recently. So,
okay, I give in.
I don't mind leaving this here because I understand it's repeated in other parts, but as a general recommendation, I would leave it here also.
Okay, so this is Julie. Then I have left that in for now. And then moving along, small Roman numeral 2 would read, if we're looking at our sort of two-bullet approach, would read simply, a discussion forum to achieve greater community understanding, period. And the rationale would stay as it is. Then there would be a further bullet that would say something like, this, and this is where I have difficulty, because you can't say this may occur, because now we don't know
The formation of the CCWG can occur.
Okay, I see.
Either prior.
So, all right. The formation of a CWG may occur either prior to, comma, following, or independent of a PDP to help define issues and concerns or to provide implementation recommendations or related guidance.
That sounds good.
I'm fine with that. I had suggested that the title of the section be possible purposes instead of implying that all of the following must apply.
Thanks, Alan. I'm sorry. This is Julie. I did not catch that in your notes.
Yeah, no. I think that will help here, because this is really a laundry list of different reasons why we might form a cross working group.
Why don't we say that instead of purpose?
Well, that's what I say, possible purposes, that which I thought captured it in one word. But one could add a sentence instead.
I have the other unrelated item that I would like to bring.
Okay, Jamie, let's go ahead. So I think just to draw a line under that. I think we've now have one, two, and new bullet 3. The only other issue that I was thinking of with new bullet 3 is Roman numeral 3. Is do we need an addition? Is there any rationale for that needs to be in place, because and that might be something we need to take on list when we see it. I don't know if anyone's got any comment about whether that needs a rationale. I mean, not everything has to be rationalized, but we've got a rationale for every other standalone.
Well, the rationale for the before is the new PDP rules, which were just approved, and the bylaws approved, call for community input prior to a PDP. So, if nothing else, that certainly rationalizes it. The post PDP, I'm not quite sure, but it's an option. It doesn't. It's not necessarily mandatory.
All right, Jamie. What was your other area of concern or independent point that you wanted to raise?
It's more in the for the end of the document is the possible outcomes of the outcomes of CWGs. The final report policy recommendations be considered for possible approval. It doesn't because a report may express the lack of consensus. Yes.
And I'm just wondering if we should come to that. We're going to
see this.
Jamie, you've gone right down to 2C there, have you?
Yes, 2C.
Yeah, I'm just wondering. I mean, we've got a couple of other. If we could go in sequence, I don't want to be too pedantic about this, but I wouldn't mind.
Oh, okay.
Working through the rest so that.
On the scope, I assume we're keeping what is currently the Roman numeral 3, which now becomes 4.
Well, yes, that was implicit, Alan, but I was reading that and thinking, it's sort of, if we've got at the top possible purpose or possible purposes, my problem is that now the existing Roman numeral 3 sort of doesn't quite fit in as a possible purpose.
This is Mikey. I think this is that same sensitivity that Jamie was talking about, and maybe we could move that one down into the operations section.
Or Mikey, if we simply take off the Roman numeral 3 and make a text apply that applies in summary to the whole section, I think it covers the sensitivities and makes it syntactically correct.
Well, I think either way is fine, but you know, I think the key is not to lose that concept. I think if we drop that concept, we'll likely get certainly pushback from me and I think others.
Yeah.
That
I mean, look, we're talking about violating the bylaws if we don't follow that rule. So it's not really an option.
Yeah, but we did the last time around.
Yeah.
So let's leave it in.
All right, so Julie, hopefully that gives you enough to work with on 3. We don't want to lose it, but it looks a bit. It doesn't look right from a sort of structural point of view to have it as 3. So it can either be appended to the section without or just put in that place without 3, or added on to an appropriate point. And I think that should be relatively easy to find So the intention is here not to lose that, but it doesn't sit under possible purposes.
Yeah.
Right. So this is Julie, and I note that the way we have it written right now, that is new small Roman numeral 3, is that we say the formation of a CWG, et cetera, which seems to me makes it fall in under 2 small letter A, which says formation of CWGs. But perhaps what we do is we say under A, formation of CWGs, colon, and then have that text there so that it applies to the whole section on formation of CWGs.
It's Alan. I guess I disagree because it really does fit under scope. We're saying policy development cannot be within the scope of a CWG. It's a negative purpose, but it really does fit in the first section. It delineates what this group can do or why we're putting it together.
Yes, so perhaps in any event is slightly unnecessary language. I mean, perhaps we can just strip out the Roman numeral 3, strip out the in any event, and actually put it at as you suggested, just as an unnumerated, if that's the correct word, point.
The same indentation as purpose.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure I follow. So right now, possible purposes A is a header as opposed to a textual explanation. So right now, the text we have for 3, and I'm really just trying to understand. I'm not trying to say it has to be one place or another, but I'm just trying to figure out where to put it. Right now, it reads, the formation of a CWG may occur either prior to, following, or independent of a PWP, PDP, et cetera. So is that then to apply to all of the scope section? If you say it's a scope item, so would it fall? Right now it's not a header, so it wouldn't be like A, above possible purposes. It's not a purpose.
Yeah.
Or is it something we want to say about...
Julie, we really don't need an A there because there is no B. So if we have scope as the main section, purpose, and three items under it, and then the sentence about consensus policy must occur using SO rules essentially is the unpurpose, and just have it at the same level as purpose.
Yeah, that works.
Okay, so we have then order would be what? Possible purposes, which is no longer A, it's just another.
Or make purpose A and make the new one about policy development a B. Again, I don't think we need to really worry about.
Well, I do think that, I mean, I could see that some people might ask just how this really works in sequence. So then if A is possible purpose, then the header for this new B is policy development process. What would you want it to be?
Well, either way, if you do any of those, we can refine it in our next meeting.
Yeah.
I hope will be our last.
Okay. Well, I'll put it down as I'm going to put it down as a new A, and you can see what you think. Just
okay.
If it applies to a lot of, you know, if it's a main point that we want to make right off the bat, you know, then we'll make it, and then we can go to B and let you guys all work it out on the list.
I think, Julie, just one last point on this, and I think we must give Wendy a chance to talk here. But I think if you put it right at the front, it's a secondary point, but it's an important point. But to lead with it doesn't make sense. It'll float a little bit if it's led. It's sort of we haven't. So I would suggest that you keep it lower down. But I'm sure you can sort the structure out and if not, I'll happily work with you offline on this and just
well,
check
I'll
it,
make it B, and that will put it lower.
Yes,
fine.
Correct. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks, Julie. Wendy, I know you've had your hand up for a while.
Thanks. I'm just frustrated by this process because I find it very difficult to manage details of text over the phone, and I think we've had this chart going back and forth by email where we've had good opportunities to respond in text. So can we stop wordsmithing?
No, I think you're right. We must be careful not to get although we've broken that little logjam now, but it's a good point. So we'll try and keep the flow going because really we've gone quite a way through the call, and the important thing to do is to cover the substance, and I'm sure we can fix the structure, as you say, with a bit of handiwork offline. So let's try and move on through this then onto the next area where we changed. And there's really three or four other bullets where there's something to be dealt with. I wouldn't mind being reminded why we got with 2.2. I mean, I understand exactly what we were saying here. All participating SO and AC should approve a single joint charter whenever possible that defines the rules and procedures for the CWG. Now, it's clearly the issue here is the whenever possible. Who brought the whenever possible in, and how necessary is this to keep it in? Because I think there was early on there was quite a strong feeling that we needed to emphasize the concept of a single charter, but there's probably good reason why this was brought in. Does anyone remember who brought in the whenever possible and can remind us of that rationalization?
It's Alan speaking. I don't know who brought it in. It might have been me. It might have been someone else. But the rationale was, if you go back in history of where did this worrisome issue come up, it came up in the jazz group, not in the original charter, but in a rechartering that happened halfway along the process. And at that point, there was a logjam that there was no way to go forward. The GNSO was adamant that one path be taken. The ALAC was adamant that another path be taken. And the way forward was to have two charters
which were easily delineable, that you could see what was in one and what was the other, the working group was happy to work with that mode, and it was a way of going forward without splitting the group and fracturing it and having two complete separate working groups. So it wasn't something that was particularly desirable, but it was a way of going forward. I think that's what drove the words that are you see on the document today.
Yeah, I'm not intimately familiar with all that sort of happened, but my impression is almost one of the reasons we exist as a group and why this issue is being dealt with is because that was seen to have been a problem that it was an undesirable outcome. And in many ways, the intention of having a group like this and any subsequent work that gets done is to try and ensure that we don't have such problems in future. So my slight concern with putting this whenever possible in is that we're not grasping the nettle and dealing with it. So let's hear from Jamie and Mikey then.
Yeah, just one thing quickly. I'll point out that the two charters was a real thorn in the side of the GNSO at the time they were created. When the report finally came out, you'll note that there was not one bit of discussion about it in council, that the report addressed two charters.
So
ultimately, it didn't really matter in the outcome, is what I'm saying. So,
Alan, yeah. Can some of us speak here?
Sure, I'm finished.
Yeah, Jamie. It's. I think we've got Jamie and then Mikey.
Yeah, I would like to remember that I brought this issue in the very beginning of the first discussions we had, and also in Dakar. I was not participating, but in the Adobe Connect room, I put this. This is my concern. Is the same as Alan. I think that removing this whenever possible, we wouldn't take into consideration what really happened, and so we would. I know that is ideal. The ideal world is a single charter, and this should be a way to move. But we must leave a concession to reality, to what happened with the jazz group, and it was what was undesirable is the lack of consensus. But this is something that can happen. So we cannot force a previous consensus, and to remove the good things that can come from the CCWG is the discussion, the previous discussion in a forum that has participants from different chartering organization, then can come to a greater understanding, if not a consensus. So why to put the need of consensus before the formation of the CCWG is equivalent to avoid the formation of a something that is has not enough consensus in its beginning. So if it is a mechanism to discuss and to try to achieve greater consensus, why to require a consensus in the chartering?
Thanks, Jamie. Well, that's a good point. Let's hear from Mikey and Chuck and see if we can't bring this to a head, if at all possible. Let's because Mikey, you've been very patient. Let's hear from you on this, and then Chuck.
Thanks, Jonathan. This is Mikey. I want to come in really, really solidly on the other side of this argument. I think it's possible to handle the lack of consensus problem a different way, but the prospect of running a project with two different charters is that's not an ideal world kind of thing. That's a very practical world kind of problem. That's like telling the pilot of the airplane that we're going to two towns, and that's impossible. So if there's an area where there is not consensus about the charter, that can be removed from the scope of the working group so that the working group can proceed. But to give a working group two destinations is impossible, and that's one of the reasons why I so strongly feel that, you know, I was on the other side of this argument on the last call, too. This puts the chairs and the leaders of the working group in a very awkward position, because by providing two destinations, you are removing the authority of the SOs and ACs to speak and giving it to the chairs and saying, we can't decide, so you choose. And that puts, I think, too much burden on the leaders of the working group. So if there's an area where there isn't consensus in the chartering, then it has to be removed from the scope of the working group. But you don't run two parallel charters, ever.
Thanks, Mikey. Chuck?
Yeah. First of all, let me respond to what Mikey said, and then I'll jump in on what I put my hand up for. And that is, Mikey, it may not necessarily be necessary to remove it from the scope, but maybe deal with it in a different way. So I think you're on the right track on what you're talking about. I'm just going to say that you might not have to totally remove it. Maybe you accommodate both wishes in some way that people can agree to. But I'll just leave that at that. It may not just be a matter of removing it, although that may be an option too. So what I was going to comment, because I and sorry for jumping in late, but unfortunately my meeting at least ended early, my other meeting. With regard to the Jazz Working Group history, I think we should be cautious. We should look at the history and the problems and so forth that occurred there, but we should put that in the right context, because that was a group that was kind of formed by the board and had a special existence. If and when we get some procedures for community-wide working groups going forward, I think it'll be a lot cleaner. And, of course, that's what we're working on, to try and set that situation up. So I just am suggesting that, you know, we should learn what we can from the Jazz Working Group, but hopefully the results of the work of this team, as well as a future joint team of the different SOs and ACs, will come up with some procedures that will minimize a lot of those problems.
All right, Chuck, I see Julie's put her hand up. Mikey, have you put your hand up again, or is that from the previous time?
This is just to follow up on something that Chuck said. Let me just slip that in. Chuck, what I'm reacting to in terms of the scope is if the chartering organizations can't hammer out some sort of solution to this problem, like you're describing, that's the eventuality that I'm talking about there. The one thing I don't want to do is leave a disagreement between chartering organizations in the charter, because then the problem that I'm describing comes
yeah,
in.
And I agree with you there.
Yeah. So that's all.
Julie, I'm conscious you want to speak as well, and Jamie, I see your hand has now gone up, but I'm also very conscious of the time, and I think we could spend hours on this. For me, this really, we're coming down to two options here. This group that we are currently involved in right now doesn't have to come up with the ultimate firm answer. My feeling and my view, my personal view, is quite strongly that I don't like the concept or struggle with, in similar terms to what Mikey's expressed, with anything other than a single joint charter. And to the extent that people can't agree on elements of the charter, that should perhaps be left out. However, having said that's my view, I'm tempted to leave this wherever, whenever possible, in our document. So it's in a sense, it draws the discussion onto this and makes sure that it gets that we haven't, because you know, we've had a strong and thorough and comprehensive discussion of it and still struggle to resolve it. So my temptation is to leave it in our document for the follow-up group to sort out. And that's not simply to avoid the problem, but really is to recognize that others might want to air this more thoroughly. And by leaving the whenever possible in there, we create the opportunity for others to talk about it in the future.
Yes, we could even leave it and say that this is not this requires further discussion because it was not a consensus among the group.
All right, Mikey, I know you put your hand up again, Jamie. That's a good point. So actually, the way we could handle this is we could leave it, just remove the red lining. And leave it square bracketed, which would indicate that it was an area for further discussion. So, and I think that would be perhaps an effective compromise to say all participating SOACs should approve a single joint charter, square bracket, wherever possible, that defines. So it's an area where it indicates, therefore, that we haven't got consensus, we haven't resolved this, and it needs further work. And that's probably quite a good outcome. How does the group feel about living with that as a solution to help us move on?
For me, it's okay, but I would just like to add one perception, because in relation to the jazz working group, it seems that I'm not very familiar with what happened, as Alan is, and it seems that Alan reported that it was in the middle of the process that this double chartering was a way to move ahead. And what would happen if we had this requirement for single chartering? We would not have this resource to keep the work being done. And I think. This is something to think only and not to.
Your
recommendation. For the sake of objectivity, I agree with your recommendation.
Yeah, I mean, we have little choice, because you and Alan, Jamie, have clearly argued for something you feel that needs to be recognized, at least. And so we don't have a consensus. We can't, you know, I can't just, as chair, drive a coach and horses through those thoughts. So I think we have to move on to the other points now, given that we're really into the last 10 minutes of the hour. Park that and park it. I expect that's going to stay square bracketed as we move ahead.
Jonathan, it's Alan. If it's clear that what we're talking about is the original chartering of an organization, I have no problem about deleting it altogether. If the groups can't come up with a single reason for creating the organization, then we do have a problem.
I'm not sure I understand that.
Well, as I said, with jazz, the only place that the issue of differing charters came up was a rechartering halfway through the process.
Well, perhaps then we should just remove it and accept that jazz seems to have been an outlier or an exception that we shouldn't be trying to work around and accommodate, and we should remove it.
That was a point I made many times. I don't think they should be forbidden, but I don't think we need to highlight that you need a single charter. So,
no, I do.
How would the bullet be drafted? I'm confused now.
Let's just leave it for the moment. You're right. We need to get on in this discussion. I wasn't trying to prolong the discussion. I was trying to make it easier. Let's not prolong it.
Okay. Well, let's all commit to think about it. We have one more meeting in which point to try and finalize this document. Next week, and so if we can give that particular bullet some more thought and not let that deal with the rest. Now, so then moving on to B, execution of B, Roman numeral 1, execution of CWGs, are those changes appropriately reflecting the discussion we've had, and are we happy to simply approve those changes? Yes. No concerns there.
Yeah, Jonathan, it's Alan. I have one more issue, that one more change that was not picked up from the email in point, going back in point number 2A1. It should be ACSO.
Okay, let's go back to that and just make sure that that's covered then.
Yeah, it should be point SO/AC, not just SO.
Okay, that's it. Julie, have you got that?
I'm not. Wait, 2A1. Oh, SOAC?
That's
work
right.
No.
Yes.
So you're saying apply appropriate, and it should be SO/AC workgroup guidelines?
All I'm saying is we shouldn't pretend that SOs are dominant in this particular area or everywhere else they're equal.
Okay.
I think it was a drafting error. I don't think I'm talking substance.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sorry about that. Back to the original program.
Okay. So then I think, unless somebody stops me, I think we're going to go on to 2C, outcomes of CWGs. Not sure I have scrolling power, so if we could scroll perhaps a little bit, if that's Natalie. I'm not sure who's in control of the Adobe, but
I will do that.
Thanks. Okay, so we're on 2C1. Have you gone a little bit too far? Yeah, there we go. Policy recommendations should be considered for possible approval through the appropriate policy development process. Well, that's in effect a repeat of something we've said earlier, and we've acknowledged when we had it earlier that it would be repeated, but it seems to cover it. Chuck?
Well, we probably can improve the wording a little bit, and what I'm getting at is that we don't want to imply that the CWG is developing policy. I think policy recommendations, to say that they should be considered for possible approval, I don't think we want to tell the SOs that, hey, we just want you to approve policy recommendations we make. They can be considered in a PDP. So I think we just need to fix the wording, and I'm trying to think of an easy way to fix. Policy recommendations should be considered for possible PDPs, maybe.
Here's a suggestion for you, Chuck. I mean, perhaps we just simply preempt that bullet by saying, by being absolutely explicit and saying, CWGs do not develop policy. Full stop. Policy recommendations should be considered for possible approval through the appropriate policy development process.
And that's good to me.
Yeah, so we just simply, that's great, thanks Chuck. So we just simply put ahead of that bullet point one, CWGs do not develop policy or are not intended to develop policy. And then we go on to explain a little further by saying policy recommendations.
You could even tune that a little more by just taking the word policy out of and start that sentence with recommendations.
Yeah, thanks, Mikey. That's sensible as well. Jamie? Great. So, Julie, did you capture that? We've got a start to C Roman numeral 1 that says CWGs do not develop policy, full stop. And then recommendations should be considered for possible approval through the appropriate policy development process.
I've got it. Thank you, Jonathan.
Great.
Don't we really need policy in there, though? Because other recommendations do not need to go through the PDP.
Well, we could say CWG policy recommendations.
Maybe we say recommendations for policy consideration, something like that.
I think the intent is clear. Let's not worry about it.
Okay, great. I agree. I think we can
I would prefer Alan's suggestion that CWG's recommendations should be considered. Avoid the word policy. This is Jamie.
Thanks, Jamie.
I would like to bring the other points.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, I forgot you. You did mention it a while back, and I held you off until. So we hear it now, Jamie. Yes, good point.
Yeah, I'm not sure if my concern is covered by the C2, because when we read the C3, CWG's output must not be taken as an expression of community consensus, except it seems to me that a report, a final report, may reflect the points of that require further discussion. It's the same as we did here. We advanced discussions and the concerns, and we narrowed the concerns to a focal point for further discussion among a larger group. I consider this an advancement. So I think the final report outcomes, I think they cover the report of the point of no consensus, where there is no consensus also. If this is covered in the wording of the number two, I'm okay, but it seems to me that I don't know if the reports usually have this mechanism of reporting when there is no consensus.
Well, Jamie, this Chuck, even if there's no consensus, you still need a report communicating that, right?
Yes. The final report covers that, yes?
Yeah, this is Mikey. I've served on several where there was no consensus. Fast Flux is the best example I can think of.
Okay.
RAP as well.
No, my concern is covered by number two, as I suspected. Okay.
So Jamie, just so I'm clear, are you suggesting a change to either two or three then, or is that...
No. I was concerned that number three could imply that the CWGs should end up in consensus. If a final report is usual, because I'm not familiar with a general working group reports, and if a final report has in Fast Flux and others can reflect because the I don't know I think we should recommend that because GNSO working groups have this very granular way of expressing the degree of consensus. I think we should give to the whole community the same way of expressing the degree of consensus that is very very specified in the GNSO working groups policy.
Alan, you've got your hand up.
Yeah, this is another one I think that is not really one of the outcomes. It's like that one we had up at the top, you know, that cross-working groups don't develop policy. It's really not an issue of what the working group does, but how the community interprets the outcome. And it's really a caveat saying we need to be careful to make sure that no one thinks that because the working group has said something, it is community consensus, and it isn't community consensus until the AC or SO blesses it, just like anything else.
Right.
I mean, you can work on a PDP for 3 years and the council refuses to accept it.
I've got a suggestion then for both that initial one, which was, I think, one bullet point three originally, the one bullet point three, one A bullet, and this one then. We could simply put, instead of having the Roman numeral three in both cases, we could simply put note, colon, you know, something which is so it's a point of note, but it's not necessarily an outcome. I'm just wondering how that affects the structure of the document. But something like that, it's really just, as you say, it's not one of the two outcomes. It's a noteworthy additional point relating to the outcomes.
It's something that applies to all working groups or drafting teams. The parent body can say no.
and at which point the stuff is flushed down the toilet. That's fine.
You know, it's probably not perfect, but I don't think it hurts to have number three in there. Because this will be a concern of some people that there is a misinterpretation of that, and this sets the record straight, even though it is duplicative of what we've had previously.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, Chuck. Right, well, we've hit the hour and run slightly over it, but I think I'm pretty sure we're at the end of the document, and we've done a decent pass through it. Chuck, for your information, we dealt with. We spent the first 10 or 15 minutes talking about whether it was the intention or not to have the do's and don'ts included in the document. And the consensus we reached was they are good and wise points, but they don't conform to the structure of the document as we envisage it. So they will be left off and potentially used in a successor forum or in another forum for dealing with the methods of running working groups. So where I think we're at in terms of the plans for finalizing this, I think we've done another good pass through the document in what is what I would have called, you know, an ultimate or just prior to that draft. And I think we're probably in a position where we can review a final draft next week with a view to closing it off and sending it and presenting it to the council at the first meeting in January.
Jonathan, this is Julie. I hate to raise this, though, but there was language that Chuck had suggested to be included in the rationale section. Number two, small Roman numeral three.
Correct.
And shall I accept that? Do we discuss it, or shall I just leave it as a point of discussion for our next meeting?
Well, the reason I have my hand up is to ask a question in that regard. What's our intent in terms of format in presenting this to the GNSO Council? Is it our intent to include the rationale, or is that rationale more for our internal use?
Chuck, that's a good question. My understanding was that our intent was always to include the rationale to try and explain, and it was so that anyone who hadn't had the benefit of participating in all of these discussions could at least have some insight as to why so the rationale was intended to be included.
And I'm not opposed to that, but at the same time, I think there's some value in letting the council and the various stakeholder groups and constituency members look at the first column independent of our rationale and think through it fresh. We can always come back with the rationale when questions are asked. And I guess I kind of like that a little bit better. Now, the format in terms of the table, if we did that, we could just leave that right row of the table blank for discussion in the council on it, and people could identify themselves. But I don't know. I'm open to discussion on that.
This is Mikey. Another point is that the rationales now don't necessarily match the final language. They were written before we beat the language up. And so,
yeah.
For example, the very controversial 2A2 with the wherever possible, that rationale doesn't really reflect all the discussion that we've had. So I'm with Chuck. I think it might be good to leave that off.
Now, at the same time, we can, I would, you know, we have this documented, the rationale, and, you know, maybe Jonathan as chair, or if he's not available to do it, one of the rest of us, well, we need somebody on the council, I guess, but they could come back with somebody that's on the council, could, you know, Alan, or who would have got Alan, or Jonathan at least, could come back and provide the rationale if it was one of those that still makes sense.
Yeah, well, that's some good points. So here's what I would suggest then. At next week's meeting, we take the document, we hive off the rationales and create the document in a for final review without the rationale on. But we also have a second document which has the rationale on. And so as soon as possible, Julie, if you could circulate both variants, one with the rationales deleted, blanked, or in fact removed entirely. I think they can be, it sort of begs the question if there's just a column of blanks. I'd rather just have the bullets down. But then we have the second document, which has the rationales filled in, and we can review both and perhaps even tidy up some of the wording on the rationale with the understanding that this isn't intended to be published to the council, at least in the first instance, but will certainly inform any discussion around it. So I'm happy with that. That makes sense to me.
Yeah, Jonathan, to keep Julie sane, how about just one document and we will pretend that there'll be a final version without the rationales. There's no need to have two parallel ones.
That's practical and sensible, yes.
This is Julia. It's not a difficulty to have two, but I'll do one with the rationale.
It just means you have to make two changes if we change the text. So.
Yeah, I think that's more practical, Alan. Thank you.
Well, at the same, sorry to be difficult, but it's also valuable if next week's our last call, and again, I may not even be able to participate, but if it is, then it would be nice if we had our rationale in pretty good shape, so it's really easy for Jonathan or Alan to feed that in without having to independently fix it to fit the latest thing on the left.
I think
we're saying is that we will have the whole document to look at with the rationale and we will do a little bit more work on polishing that up either in the interim between now and next week's meeting or on the call next week, and we will produce a final document. But when that final document is circulated to the council, it will have the rationale stripped out.
Right.
So I'm going to. This is Julie. I'm going to send out today, shortly in the next hour, capturing the changes we made today with the rationale. But just a note on timing, the ESSAC offices are closed the week following Christmas. So my goal would be then to immediately follow up next week's meeting on the 20th with a final document and ask for you all to review it very quickly so I can make any final changes, preferably prior to Christmas, and we can get it to the council.
That's great, and that's exactly what I hope we would be able to do, Judy. So that's very helpful.
Excellent, thank you. Then I'll follow up quickly with this, and then we'll move from there.
I think we're about to wrap up, but I see Jamie's got his hand up. Does anyone else? Was that you, Chuck? Had something else to say?
I was just pointing out.
May I just add one point? Jonathan?
Jamie, yeah, let's just hear Chuck and then I'll come to you. I know you didn't have your hand up.
Jonathan, I was just pointing out that Jamie's hand was up.
Oh. All right. Fire away, Jamie.
I fully agree that the rationale should be kept out because otherwise we would need other rounds just to discuss the wording of the rationale. So, because as Mikey said, some of the rationals don't reflect all the subtleties that our discussion had. So I would agree to remove them, to resort to it if you feel needed.
Great. I think we have consensus on that, Jamie. That's great. So I think that bye, Alan. I think we're done anyway. So thanks very much, everyone. That's another productive session. I know we're having to whip through this, but I think we'll get there by the target date next week. So that's very encouraging, and appreciate you all taking the time to join the call.
Don't worry, Jonathan. You're doing a great job chairing us.
Thank you very much.
Amen to that.
Bye bye.
Goodbye.
Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This concludes today's conference. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.